Hey, Wyatt, the Wyatt Collenberg, a man who broke Geraldo's nose.
Yeah, 14 years ago. Feel like an old man.
Is it 14 years ago this month?
Yeah, the 3rd.
Oh, man, that's great. Thank you very much. Hey, Wyatt, what'd you think about that front page in that October issue?
Looks pretty good there. No on war from war.
War says no to war. How about that?
That's an oxymoron.
We've joined the liberals. No
yeah.
on war, boy. And did you read that editorial?
Yes.
Oh, was it hot?
Yes, and I imagine that Arch Edwards is a different Arch Edwards than the one we know.
I don't even recognize any other Arch Edwards, unless you mean the one that was starting a country down in at the South Pole.
Yeah, and he went into mental institution for attacking a bunch of cornflakes in a grocery store.
And he's going to be the king down there?
Yeah, and they charge you so much money, you can be a queen for
so
much.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, the right wing really attracts some fruitcakes.
Yeah. I know you hate this, Tom, but I'm always pushing you got to sell stuff, because no movement ever runs off of itself.
Oy
vey! It needs money. So these cheap bastards have to put in some money or you fold.
Okay.
So let's look at what kind of books you got to sell.
Well, I mean, we got a lot of them. You know, we got that, we've got expanded books, Whitey Revolutionary, We Shall Fight in the Streets, The Diary of Adolf Hitler, Katie Rebel, and all those four books totaling $25. That was a good combination.
Yeah. What's this history of Nazi TV?
Well, that's a video, and that's great, and that is original Third Reich video from 1933 beginning that shows how the Germans had developed television and were using it right from the very beginning over there in 33.
Now imagine this, Ebola is coming, isn't Julius Ebola?
Ebola, that's about that stuff that kills you real quick that any one of these niggas jumping on an airplane from Africa can infect you with the minute they get off the aerial.
Good thing they go to the cities first.
They go to the cities first. So
New York and Los Angeles.
They could wipe out the whole population in a few months.
Of Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. And then there's Mondo Cani. That's another video that comes with it for $15, and that's about weird tribal practices around the world.
Oh, is that the one set to the Beatles song?
That's A Taste of Honey,
yeah.
And I have, it's around here someplace.
What a sell, that always cracks me up.
I gotta find that.
That's some bizarre stuff
where
on
they're
there.
They're getting pissed on by the cows and everything.
Oh, yeah, they're bathing their kids in cow urine and stuff, that's a classic.
And rubbing cow dung all over them.
I love that.
Oh, well, I'm telling you.
I'm a sick individual, but I love
it. Well, then, of course, there's the Tom Metzger's final speech to the jury.
Uh-oh.
In Portland, Oregon, $15 for that video. I think you'd find that quite interesting.
Yeah, maybe even you send it to the jury. Maybe they can hear it. I think they're sleeping through
it. Oh, yeah. Hey, how about the Bible, the Devil's Book?
Oh, yeah, that's from the Germanic Heathen Front or something.
Yeah, that comes from up in the Nordic countries. That's $20. And, hey, the truth about identity, Christian religion.
Uh-oh.
Whoa, boy.
Who wrote that?
Stepping on some toes. Well, I forget the author now, but that's Destroying the Icons.
That's
a whole series
of
books.
Yeah, it is.
That's a whole series of books. And so that's...
Ethan Allen wrote something on Christianity?
Ethan Allen wrote a critique on Christianity, too.
I didn't know. I didn't know he was anti-Christian.
And that's $20, and boy, that's an education in
itself. Yeah, I know him from the American Revolution in furniture.
Yeah, and then we had a... Wait a minute. Then we had the Metzger Mayhem video. That's... That's about an hour or so's interview with Fox TV Network.
Mm.
It hasn't even aired yet.
Cool.
Going to air, I guess, in the spring or sometime. I don't care. I always take a camera to these interviews, and I don't care what they do.
A lot of times, if it's too good or too scary, they'll just throw it in the trash.
Well, or they just only give you a few seconds.
Yeah.
But I get the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. It's funny sitting there. Sometimes I listen to you when you do interviews, and you do like an hour and stuff, and it's about 3 sound bites out of the whole hour or 2 hours that you're talking
right.
to them.
They sort of grit their teeth when I bring my camera, but they can't do anything about it. Hey, we got an Aryan Kids coloring book.
Whoa.
We've got all these Viking pictures and all these kind of pages and wolves and everything to color. $7. There
cool.
you go. Well, that's enough advertising for now.
There's never enough advertising.
They're going to think I'm a kike. Hey, why? Do we have another John Paul Franklin running around?
Yeah, I heard about that sniper American in Washington, D.C.
Got some sniper running around here, popping him off.
Yeah.
But he seems to be, he doesn't discriminate.
No.
He's popping white ones
whacker.
And non-white ones. I guess he don't like anybody.
He's a man of my own heart.
What do you think about this? You said something about he was shooting a half a mile or
something? Yeah, I heard on The radio that he got one of them. It was 2,400 feet away. That's almost half a mile.
2,400 feet away.
With one shot, hit him in the head.
I couldn't hit the Queen Elizabeth ship at that.
Oh no! Especially he's using like a .223 caliber.
Yeah.
And those, you know, like they spin and stuff. And like about 300 yards, they start kind of pulling to the left. At least every time I've ever shot a M16 or something, they always pull to the left.
Are you a sniper too?
No.
Oh,
no, not
okay.
Me.
Where were you lately here?
I was out of town.
Do you have a witness?
No.
Oh.
No witnesses
Uh-oh.
At all.
Uh-oh.
I was in Maryland visiting some national monuments.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. I hope
creating some national monuments.
I hope the famous but incompetent aren't listening to this.
That's true.
Okay.
But anyway, that's a hard caliber to hit anybody. That's
hey, what about that sheriff down there, Sheriff Moose?
Oh, Moose?
The black guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's about a 70 IQ.
Yeah, he's a buck.
You know, and I know guys that knew he was a chief of police in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's up there where they hired three of the Taliban guys there to work for City Hall, you know.
Yeah.
Portland's become, you know, all the, you know, Harold Covington, these people want, you know, migrate to the Northwest. Well, migrate to the Northwest is becoming like the Soviet state up there.
Oh, when I was living in Seattle and Idaho, I mean, they were almost jubilant, you know, every time like a gook or something moved in. They want the gooks to move in. Even Idaho Falls had a lot of Chinese and stuff because of the nuclear facilities up there.
Yeah, well, this Moose, I heard guys call in that lived in Portland. They said he was a horrible chief of police.
Yeah.
He was almost illiterate.
Yeah.
And so he was out there, and he said, he made a classic statement the other day. He says, well, he shot all these people, but he shot a kid. That's crossing the line. I guess he didn't cross the line till he shot the little kid. Well, anyhow, that's it for that. What about this port strike? You know, the Taft-Hartley?
Oh, yeah.
Well, since when do you use a Taft-Hartley when you're not at a real war?
Oh, yeah, but Carter used it the last time. It was Jimmy Carter.
What did he use it on? I don't remember.
It was another port thing. They were striking some other port.
Why, hell, you were telling me, too, about these foreign companies. What was that?
Oh, yeah, the port authorities basically is they're mainly Sony and all these foreign companies, and they're the ones that are pushing the workers, and the workers are Americans, so it seems like Reagan's backing all these foreign companies against American workers.
Well, and the Chinese, don't they own a big piece of real estate?
Oh, yeah. Well, corporations are the ones that bring in imports. All companies bring foreign companies. They wanted to hire illegal aliens for $6
an hour. Yeah, well, that's why I have no sympathy for even the middle class anymore, because they...
Well, it is a bizarre situation that even in most of the talk shows, they're siding with the foreigners and the port authority over the American workers.
Well, then you got outfits and shows like Savage Nation. I was listening to that kike the other night. And some of the stuff he says is not bad.
Yeah.
He's going on and on. He's very pro-Israel.
Oh, he's a Pat Buchanan guy.
Yeah, he's phonier than a $3 bill. And
right,
some guy called in and said, well, we shouldn't be supporting Israel. We should get rid of Israel. And he goes off, Nazi, Nazi, Nazi. You know, I wish these guys would say, yeah, I'm a Nazi, you kike. Well, anyhow, all those radio talk shows. Who's that Jew that's on? I forget his name, but he's a big fat Jew that thinks he's so damn smart. And if a guy calls in and says anything critical of Israel, he goes.
Was Bill Handel?
No, it's not Bill Handel.
Oh, a different big fat Jew.
Anyhow, I don't remember his name, but he's just like all the rest. And anyhow, okay, there was some guy up in L.A. that, I guess, attacked a homosexual or something.
Oh, yeah, a couple guys that robbed him.
But somebody said now they're trying to charge him with being a skinhead or something.
Oh, they're trying to charge him with a hate crime, but I don't even think he's a white guy. Yeah, he attacked this faggot and robbed him, and I guess the city council up there had a unanimous vote that the prosecution has to charge him as a hate criminal.
Well, one of those deals up there in L.A. where somebody attacked somebody, it turned out that they're trying to say the kid was a skinhead. He probably wasn't even a white guy.
Yeah, I don't think the guy's a white guy that it robbed him.
Oh, man. Well, what do you think about this market situation there, Watt? I know you got tens of thousands of dollars wrapped up in the market.
I have stopped watching TV because of the market.
Ah!
I stay away from the newspaper.
The Trotskyite capitalist. How about
that? The last couple of months, I don't even want to hear it.
Oh, Wyatt's a blue-collar worker, and he put his money in the stock market.
My stocks have went down between 70% and 80%, so.
Well, just as they say, hang in there, boy.
That's true.
Like they said in 29, hang in there.
And stay the hell away from the news, because it makes me want to jump out a window.
Yeah, man, because, you know, the other night it dropped 300 points in Tokyo.
Oh, don't tell me that.
The German stock market was dropping like hell. And I was surprised it hadn't totally bottomed out here by today.
I'm glad I didn't have everything in Enron.
Wow. I see Roger Moore, that movie maker.
Oh, yeah.
that did the stuff on Detroit?
Yeah.
Well, he's coming out with a new movie on for gun control because we got too many guns in the
country.
Even though he's a member of the NRA and believes in hunting poor little furry animals, he says there's just too many guns.
Well, I think the wrong people have the guns.
Well, my position now is that maybe we should have picked up the guns because, you know, people like us, we're not going to give up our guns.
Yeah, and mass is, dangerous.
All these pro-Israel people, all those kind of people, they'd be shooting it up with guns.
Whoever's in power tells them to shoot, and they shoot.
So, hell yes, let's just take all those numbskulls' guns, and then all of us fanatics will have guns.
Only the warrior caste should have the weapons.
That's right. You got it. Hey, Wyatt, I read an article about how the Jews are declining in population in this country in the paper the other day. What's that
all about? I read that their population went from 5.5 million to 5.2 million in the last 10 years, and they're aging. They went from an average age of 37 to 41.
But didn't the liberal Christian churches go up about a few hundred thousand?
Well, that's because they're getting non-whites and stuff.
The Jews are getting smart. They're hiding in the Christian churches.
Yeah.
That's wild. Of course, if they're a race, we can track them by their DNA, right?
Yeah.
You think so?
I don't. Jews know. Well, I think Semitic, like Bible Jews, like King David and stuff.
You can trace these guys back to being wogs from East Asia.
Oh, yeah.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
They're all a bunch of wogs.
Yeah.
And if they're not, they're of some other race.
Yeah.
And they've adopted this kookamamie conspiracy.
Well, the Asenotic Jews, that means German Jews, versus Sephardic Jews, which means Spanish Jews. The Sephardic Jews are basically the biblical Jews. They're the darky Jews.
Yeah,
and the Asenotic Jews are usually Europeans.
I think at one time it was just the opposite, but somehow it got turned around. I think in a couple of the books on a race, it was just the opposite. The Sephardics were the upper class, and the Ashkenazim were down farther, but now they've got it the other way. Well, most of those Jews now, the big population in Israel, is the Sephardic Jews.
Yeah.
They've come in there from North Africa and all over the place.
They're darkies like Jesus.
Well, they'll just screw their way into the population, and those European Jews will be out of there genetically, right?
Yeah. So Israel will be a true Semitic nation.
Hey, how about that? Well, thank you. We've got a little audience here. We're down in the bunker. But we've got a few people have come through the lines to get here, and of course we got our weapons of mass destruction here.
That's true.
Have you got them all oiled up and greased
up? That's true. We hired some illegal aliens to applaud for us here.
Oh yeah. we threw them a tamale.
That's true.
What the hell do they know? Boy, Wyatt, we got the damnedest governor's race I ever seen here in California. This Simon against Davis.
Oh yeah.
And most people, I don't think, are even going to vote.
There's a couple of idiots. They got the personality of a rock.
Oh, my. And, you know what's really good, though? All the dirt on these guys comes out election time, which is really the way they live all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They're dirty all the time. And you only get the truth about these crooks when they have to fight each other in the primary.
It's kind of funny. You're a bigger crook than I am. No, you're a bigger fang than I am.
Yeah, right.
It's on and on and on.
They tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but only when they're fighting to become the governor.
Yeah.
And the governor's got $60 million.
Well, neither of them address the race question at all. I mean, they avoid immigration like it's a plague.
Never talked about. They had a debate the other day. I don't think they mentioned the illegal aliens at all.
Oh, no, the Republican Party's scared to death of you.
Oh, man. Hey, Wyatt, you seen any good movies lately?
Oh, yeah. Just the other day I saw The Red Dragon, Hannibal Lecter sequel.
How was it?
It was a lot better than Hannibal, but it wasn't as good as Silence of the Lamb.
Okay, now...
I thought the ending kind of faded out, because the ending was something like you've seen a made-for-TV movie, like you've seen a million times.
Does Hannibal eat any niggers in this movie?
No, but he eats a liberal musician.
Whoa, that's great.
And he rips open a cop.
A cop?
Yeah.
Oh,
and the best thing, they set fire on a newspaper reporter.
Oh!
I like that.
They super glued
him to a wheelchair, soaked him in gas, and lit him and just put him down the hill, and he went down the hill and ran into the newspaper office.
Watch some wannabes. Do try that
one. Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
That's a cure for the Los Angeles Times.
Oh, yeah. I think they might report a few things a little straighter if
that
happened to one or two of them. Yeah, I've known several I'd like to do that to.
About 100,000 of them.
Yeah, you know, my great claim to fame is driving a reporter who was smearing me in the congressional race in 1980, driving her to commit suicide. She blew her brains out.
How'd you do that?
Oh, it was my voodoo, man.
You had to write a how-to book.
It was my Nordic voodoo.
Cool. I wrote a how-to book. That's something I'd like to learn.
She blew her brains out. Oh, well, you know, I took my lady to see the movie. She likes to see a girly movie once in a while, so we went to see The Banger Sisters. Well, I thought it was really a good movie. It was a fun movie. Goldie Hawn. She actually did a real good job in the movie where she plays an aging hippie gal, and she goes to just out of the blue over to Texas or Arizona to see her old girlfriend who was just like her. They were Hellraisers and Jim Morrison cult fans and a whole bit. Well, she gets there, and her old girlfriend has married some big Jew lawyer. They're living in a big Jew house, and they got a big Jew family, and she's the big Jew socialite.
And she's living the big Jew lie.
She's living the big Jew lie, and she's mortified that her old hippie friend, who is a very truthful, realistic person, comes to town. And the what happens after that is hilarious.
Is it?
And so just for a fun movie, I'd recommend it.
I saw a funny movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
How was it?
That's pretty hilarious. It's basically this fat Greek girl gets married and how screwed up her family is. And she marries this Anglo guy, and his family's all rich, and they're all screwed up. And it's basically two very screwed up families coming together. It's pretty funny.
What about that movie you're saying that's on DVD?
Oh, Starship Troopers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of my favorite science fiction movies. Whoa. I rented a DVD from the library the other day. And they have all these interviews with the writer and the director and stuff. And I guess when it came out, everybody was saying that it was always a neo-Nazi science fiction movie because, you know, they say, oh, it's glorifying fascism and stuff because it's about a futuristic society where it's kind of like a fascist society. And the premise is that the Nazis won World War II, and this takes place in the year 2300. And this is what would happen if the Nazis won World War II and the United States were attacked by insects. So it's like a meritocracy where, like, to be a citizen, you have to serve the state, and you know, you get in the military and stuff like that, and then you can vote and stuff. But if you don't serve the state, you can't vote. And it's a very warrior state and stuff. It's actually a pretty cool movie. And they talked in there, you know, in the interview on the CD I had.
Yeah.
That. You know, that they were saying stuff, but all animals just have fascinate and stuff.
Well,
it was kind of at one point, I moved into the big fascistopian.
I've never seen a theater.
They said the fascist so many times, they must have said it 10,000 times.
So they really grilled the producer of this movie.
Oh, yeah, they said that when they went to Europe, because they showed it here in the Washington Post, called it, condemned them for making a neo-Nazi movie. So they went to Europe and they got attacked. You know, they're doing a press interview, and all the Reds were attacking them because they were saying that. And the guy's a Dutch liberal that was doing it. Actually, it was supposed to be an anti-fascist movie, except the masses are so stupid. If you don't have anti flashing in front of their faces, they can't understand it. So everybody thought it was a pro-fascist movie, so they'd go to Europe and they'd get rocks thrown at them and stuff.
That's typical.
Oh, yeah. It's a damn good movie, like I say, is because if even though you're in on the joke, you can turn off the stuff, because some of the stuff, to me, they made it so anti. It just appealed to me.
Now, what's the name of that again?
It's Starship Troopers.
Hey, go out and rent that Starship Trooper. You'll probably like that.
That's a great movie.
Okay. What else you got there, Wyatt?
Oh, I rented The Terminator from the library. That's a good movie.
That's a hot one, yeah.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger has kind of an interesting connection to the race movie. I remember Pageant was telling me when he was at the Arnold Schwarzenegger was working at Gold's Gym in Venice Beach. Guys would be handing out Nazi literature on the street corner, and he'd run across the street to get it. He wasn't interested in the anti-Jew stuff, but anything that was anti-nigger, he'd look at it and he'd laugh and stuff. And he'd like every time that he would see him, he'd run across the street and get some literature.
Well, I know one time later on when he started his career going pretty good, that he was in a limo of some type, and the Nazis were having a demonstration down in Santa Monica or someplace, and he stopped and had the driver come out and get literature.
Oh, he did that too?
Oh, there's a lot about it.
I think, and then, Duke?
Yeah, when David Duke came out to visit me in about 76, maybe 77, stayed at my house. No, he didn't stay at my house. He came for a while, and then he was going to L.A., and he was going to stay with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was single at the time, at his house, because Dave was into weightlifting then.
Yeah.
He was getting into that kind of stuff. So nobody ever said anything about David Duke actually staying at Arnold Schwarzenegger's house. Now, I did. I wrote a whole thing up on it when the ADL was giving Schwarzenegger a great big prize, right? Or he was giving a whole bunch of money to the ADL, and I sent it to the Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
They never said a word, which proves one thing. If the Jews have enough money invested... in a big star,
mm-hmm.
until he starts going down the other side, they won't attack him.
Well, his dad was in the SS, too.
That came out even on TV a long time ago.
Yeah, but they kind of poo-pawed that and just kind of let it go to the side.
But isn't that something?
Yeah.
That he could be exposed as a full-blown Nazi, but they want to protect their investment on this guy.
Well, I know about four or five people that have had contact with him. You know, with John Hart, that guy. What was John Hart's buddy that got hit in the head with a baseball bat from the JDL?
I don't remember.
He was given literature to Schwarzenegger and stuff.
Yeah, so a bunch of hypocrites, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, American people can't separate fact from fiction. They treat these movie stars like they're really the people they play.
Oh, God, yeah, God.
I mean, that's what's so screwed in this country.
Oh, yeah, when you go to the Academy Awards, they treat them like gods, and none of them, you know, if you want to have balls, you need to stand up against political correctness, and none of them have the balls to stand up against the government or the system or anything. They can't even say the word white, so how can they be heroes when they don't have the courage to do anything?
Well, no, it's just like in real life, like it is in the movies. They'll play any role. Any role that fits them, like... What about these? You know, Barbara Streisand, when we had the electrical problem here in California, mm-hmm. power problem, she was telling housewives to go out and hang their clothes on a clothesline. Barbara Streisand.
I can imagine. She'd have her South American maid go do it.
Oh, you kidding? I don't even think she'd have her South American maid.
Yeah, she'd want to have them dried cleanly.
And all these guys. I mean, these people, all these Hollywood limousine liberals and conservatives, too, they all got millions and millions of bucks, and they pretend they're identifying with the common man. Well, why in the hell don't they go down and get a bunch of street people, move them up to their biggest states, and set them up there, clean them up, and take care of them?
That'd be too much reality, Tom.
Or take $1 million and split it up between a bunch of them and buy them a little house or rent an apartment for them.
You know, the whole left-wing thing is a lot of rich people that they want to have this fantasy that even though they're rich, they got the heart of the masses in them. They're really great people. And they push all these causes to get other people to support these social programs and make them look good. You know, they don't want to use their own money to support these programs, but they want the masses to support programs to help all these people.
Well, I think there's a lot of them like that in Washington, Hollywood, all over the place.
Just to make them feel good.
They get their pet little projects, and they want us to support it.
There's nothing more bourgeois than to be an American communist.
Wow. Boy, they like that one, Wyatt.
That's true.
Okay, Wyatt, how about some music?
Oh, yeah, I got some good one. This brings me back to my childhood. It's Woody Guthrie. It's the Ballad of Tom Joad, Part 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah, communist.
Darn right. And it's based on John Steinbeck's book, The Grapes of the Wrath. And I grew up in the San Joaquin Valley, and that was like the Holy Bible when I was a little kid. So I love this stuff.
Is it about the working man?
Yeah, it's about Tom Joad from Oklahoma getting screwed coming to California. Those immigrants back then, the white immigrants, weren't treated any way like the Mexicans, where the Mexicans are treated like God, the white Okies are treated like garbage.
So then he wasn't a communist, he was a good old white working
class. Well, he was a member of the Communist Party, but he was pro the working class. That's before the Communist Party was anti-white.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, if it's a good song, it's a good song.
Yeah.
Let's listen.
Got out of the old McAllister pen. There he got his parole. After 4 long years on a man-killing charge, Tom Joad come walking down the road. Poor boy, Tom Joad come walking down the road. Tom Joad, he met a truck-driving man. There he caught him a ride. He said, I just got loose from McAllister Pen on a charge called homicide. A charge called homicide. That truck rolled away in a cloud of dust. Tommy turned his face toward home. He met Preacher Casey and they had a little drink, but they found that his family, they was gone. He found that his family, they was gone. He found his mother's old-fashioned shoe, found his daddy's hat, and he found little Muley, and Muley said, they've been tractored out by the cats. They've been tractored out by the cats. Tom Joad walked down to the neighbor's farm, found his family. They took Preacher Casey and loaded in a car, and his mother said, we've got to get away. His mother said, we've got to get away. Now the 12 of the Joads made a mighty heavy load, but Grandpa Joad did cry. He picked up a handful of land in his hand, said, I'm staying with the farm till I die. Yes, I'm staying with the farm till I die. They fed him short ribs and coffee and soothing syrup, and Grandpa Joad did die. They buried Grandpa Joad by the side of the road, Grandma on the California side. They buried Grandma on the California side. They stood on a mountain and they looked to the west, and it looked like the promised land. That bright green valley with a river running through, there was work for every single hand. They thought there was work for every single hand. Jungle camp, there they cooked a stew, and the hungry little kids of the jungle camp said, we'd like to have some too, said we'd like to have some too. Now a deputy sheriff fired loose at a man, shot a woman in the back. Before he could take his aim again, Preacher Casey dropped him in his track, poor boy. Preacher Casey dropped him in his track. He handcuffed Casey and took him in. And he got away, and he met Tom Joad on the old river bridge. And these few words he did say, poor boy, these few words he did say. I preached for the Lord a mighty long time, preached about the rich and the poor. Us working folks is all get together, cause we ain't got a chance anymore. We ain't got a chance anymore. Now the deputies come and Tom and Casey run to the bridge where the water run down. But the vigilante thugs hit Casey with a club. They laid Preacher Casey on the ground, poor Casey. They laid Preacher Casey on the ground. Tom Joad, he grabbed that deputy's club, hit him over the head. Tom Joad took flight in the dark, rainy night, and a deputy and a preacher lying dead. Two men, a deputy and a preacher lying dead. Tom run back where his mother was asleep. He woke her up out of bed. And he kissed goodbye to the mother that he loved. Said what Preacher Casey said, Tom Joad. He said what Preacher Casey said. Everybody might be just one big soul. Well, it looks that way to me. Everywhere that you look in the day or night, that's where I'm a-gonna be. Ma, that's where I'm a-gonna be. Wherever little children are hungry and cry, wherever people ain't free, wherever men are fighting for their rights, that's where I'm a-gonna be, Ma. That's where I'm a-gonna be.
Well, I I think they like that, what?
Yeah, you got to like a preacher who kills a cop.
Well, what's next on the show, what?
Let's do some phone calls. I always like those.
Oh, from our associates around the country.
From the Aryan Update.
I love them because...
What's the phone number that people can call?
That's 760-723-8996. Leave your comment, and of course, you guys come up with some real good stuff and gives us a lot to talk about.
Repeat the phone number again in case the masses are out there.
760-723-8996.
That'll be slow enough.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. First caller.
Well, you were right, Tom, on the demonstrations. I get a newsletter from World Church of the Creator, and they had a meeting where they just literally got the shit kicked out of them someplace up east. Some girl got knocked in the head with one of the posters, and Matt Hale said he only had four berets protecting him, and he's calling to basically get all the protection he can now when he does these demonstrations. You're absolutely right, going out in the street, and these were all white people that beat the shit out of them. Hardly very few blacks or mestizos. These were all white wiggers that beat the shit out of them. And on your thing about relocation, I know he's talking about he wants everybody to move where he's at, like the Mormon Church. He's saying that's how they got to start a base. But I think you're right. Moving someplace, I don't know anybody in Chicago, Illinois, or where this place is at, and, trying to start over. I think, the church helps.
Well, what do you think about those comments?
Well, it's right because Matt Cale doesn't realize that the Mormon Church, the only reason they settled in Utah is because they were getting strung up. And actually, Joseph Smith got lynched because they had to run. They didn't say, everybody, let's leave. It's everybody, get the hell out of here. They're killing us.
Well, they ran them out. Remember that town? What's that town in Illinois?
They were breaking
in the houses, dragging them out and killing them.
Oh, setting the house on fire and
they
stuff,
I forget the name of that town, but they had to take off.
it wasn't a decision that everybody quit your job and go move this place. It's that nobody had a job anymore because they were firing Mormons and they were hanging them and they had no choice.
Well, even when they're in the middle of nowhere in Utah, the federal government is going to send an army.
They declared war on them,
They were going to declare war on them until the Mormons, they made a deal.
Yeah, they had to denounce polygamy and stuff.
Yeah, and so that's the only way they got out of
that.
Well,
they did that.
Part of their belief.
That's what the Mormon Church has been doing for the last 180 years, or 20 years. They've been denying their belief.
Well, Matt's a good guy, Matt Hale and all that, but the problem is, this idea of pulling up stakes where you have all your contacts, people you've known for years, people you've done business with for years, this is all worth a lot of money, especially when you're poor, middle class, you need all the help you can get. You pull up stakes, you sell out, you go and move somewhere else, and it's a bitch to get started again, if you can get started at all.
Yeah.
And especially in bad economic times.
Yeah. And plus the Mormons, there was nobody living in Utah but a bunch of Indians. If we go to Idaho or someplace, all the local residents, I know it because I live in Idaho, will see you as a foreign invasion, and they'll do everything to destroy you. Because you're like an outsider coming into their territory.
And there's no job boom up in the Northwest.
No way.
And there's no job boom in Springfield, Illinois.
No. Well, a lot of people up there come down to California just to work the summer and stuff.
Yeah, right. Now, one of the problems with having these meetings is they never train these people in offensive warfare. We used to train them in offensive warfare. Our boys were all trained. Mm. We even had dogs and everything at one time. And we had diamond formations like the old British Square and all that, and V formations. Mm. And we could walk through these people, and they didn't pull that stuff. We didn't get hurt. None of our people ever went to the hospital in any riot that I was ever had anything to say about, you know. But on the other hand, now you got the cops poised immediately to grab you, beat you, throw you in jail, anything they can do for you. So the only thing you can do is make preemptive strikes on these people. If you know where they're coming from and you know where they're, you got to find out where they're getting together to come and get you and get them first. Beat the shit out of whoever the leader is and they'll send them packing.
Well, one of the mistakes people do is they watch all these World War II movies about, the 20s and stuff, what Hitler did, or read Mein Kampf, but they don't remember that Hitler had the Free Corps. All these guys were World War I veterans, and they all had a military experience. They knew how to fight. And versus that, Americans, who most of them have never been in a fight in their life, get out in a street fight, and they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
This isn't Germany in the 20s.
Germany in the 20s. Those brown shirts fought their way all the way through for 20 years.
There's about 1,000 Nazi party guys that get killed in street fights. They don't bring that up either. They had some real serious ones where machine
guns
were...
Well, these right-wing racial people better learn fast, because you just set yourself up as a target, and then the press, when you get the crap beat out of you, you look weak.
Well, especially no military training, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Yeah, just setting yourself out there to be a target and never winning the battle.
Yeah.
Well, I hear Billy Roper's has a big get-together in Gainesville, Florida coming up.
Okay, why Gainesville?
Well, it's going to be against the war, and I don't know why Gainesville either, but a big demonstration. But the point is, maybe Billy Roper is one of the new breed. He may learn how to combat, because I heard he fought pretty good in Washington, D.C.
Oh, did he?
But these guys, if they're going to go in the streets, if they're going to have these meetings, they got to know how to break heads, and I mean break heads, but not get arrested. And that takes a lot. You got to be pretty clever.
Now, read a book about Roman warfare, how the Romans did, how they fought lines and stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Made wedges.
Absolutely. And always go for their leader, too.
Yeah.
Bloody the leader.
I know. I know that.
Tom, I'm just wondering what your views might be on the Hell's Angels Motorcycle Club. They have a lot of interesting characters in that organization with swastika flags and whatnot. I'm just wondering if they'd be any good in the white struggle. And isn't it funny how all the SOBs who are demanding a war against Iraq have names like Pearl and Wolfowitz and Podhoretz and Crystal? Isn't that strange? I'm sure they're precious little kike children with names like Shlomo, David, Sarah, and Miriam. They won't be doing any of the fighting in Baghdad. Now, that's going to be up to all us Goy, all the Goy soldiers with names like Williams and O'Reilly and Sanchez. They'll be doing all the fighting and killing, once again, on behalf of world Jewry. So if anyone doesn't realize that... This war against Iraq is being fought for the benefit of the Jews and them. They're pretty damn ignorant. Thanks for your great message. Have a good day.
Well, Wyatt, I know quite a few Hell's Angels. I've always got along great with Hell's Angels. But I'll tell you one thing. I learned very early on in the early 70s or mid 70s, we tried to bring these motorcycle guys together into racial units. Mm. It really doesn't work. They're very fiercely independent, sort of libertarian type. And a lot of them are really good, but they're not the kind of guys that want to fly under any other banner than Hell's Angels.
They're good to get if you got a street fight going. Like, if you got something going, they can be like, your battle axe or something. But like, you're right, for any kind of organization thing, they're not very good.
They're just not interested in it.
They're just interested in motorcycles and drinking beer.
But I know a lot of Hell's Angels that if I say control, and I've always told them that,
And a lot of the dads are in Hell's Angels, but their kids are kind of the ones that are become skinheads and stuff like that. Their kids seem like the kids of Hell's Angels seem a little better than the parents. They're actually a little more interested in the movement than their parents.
I see, too, that, not too long ago we had a big shootout over at Laughlin.
Yeah.
Well, I talked to some Hell's Angels about that. Was the Mongols. And they're really out to get the Mongols because they do some very... The Mongols are a race-mixed Mexican crossbreed, black, everything.
Yeah, they're saddle trains.
They shot this guy in the back. Hell's Angels guy was driving down the highway on his motorcycle. Yeah. They shot him in the back.
I mean,
that's the kind of stuff they do. They're heavily into drugs and like that. So I've told them, anytime I can help you boys, just ask me.
Yeah.
Well, Whitey's sure right about all these Jews that are quietly pushing this war thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Everything is caused by oil and Jews.
Well, one point is, he's right on the money about the Jews wanting the war, but their kids aren't going to fight. But the Republican Party is all like that. Like Bush and all those guys, all those guys are pushing war. None of them, their kids are going to be in it.
Yeah, I mean, how much fighting did even John Wayne do?
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't think he was in the service.
No, I don't recall any kind of military.
But everybody remembers him as a great war hero.
Oh, yeah, because of the movies.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. All these big right-wingers, almost none of them ever were at the front, at least. Mm-hmm. They may have been in. May have been like Wally George playing a banjo in a special services deal, the USO.
Yeah,
you remember that show where he said, well, I was in Korea, and there were bombs dropping within 10 feet of me. I said, you're playing on your ukulele.
Who even Germany playing a banjo?
Well, let's go to some more callers, Wyatt.
All right, what do you got now?
Let's listen.
In Boston, October 10th, they're having a free-form speech, actually a debate, on slave reparations, which is really comical, I find. But I'll be there, and I'm going to give my pitch. My pitch is, yes, I support it, provided all the blacks are repatriated back to Africa in exchange for the white South Africans and the whites that want to come to North America with their assets. But we'll see what they have to say. It should be quite comical. Another quick point. you're right about the unions. I was in a union as a delegate. I was trying to work my way to the top. Most of these unions, Tommy, they're about the money, as you know. A lot of them suck. They're not about the white man at all. They got niggas in there now, Puerto Ricans, everything. They got niggas controlling under the Maritime Union. Niggas and spicks are controlling that. The Teamsters Union, I was in that. There's Irish in the front lines, but they're all fucking race mixers. They don't care. They don't care about the white man. I brought it up several times, and I had them say, hey, what color, what difference does it make? What
Well, that man's got a point about these unions, don't he?
Oh, yeah, they're pretty scummy.
They're filled up with non-whites now.
Yeah.
And then the white race mixers.
Yeah.
A lot of whites marry these Mexicans and everything else.
White working class is just as scummy as the white capitalist a lot of times.
See, so we're in a situation where we got to keep our eye on the prize.
Yeah.
And forget about, let these guys fight these damn things. You know, I guess I get idealistic and think back to when we had white unions and stuff like that. And, well, I'll tell you, it's bad. Oh, you know, one thing that may be a little embarrassing to some people, but, you know, back when Samuel Gompers, the Jew, was running the union, they didn't let any blacks in.
Oh, yeah, Eugene V. Dibbs, who was an Aryan, he Lenin personally told him to recruit niggers.
Yeah.
But then the Jew is the one that kept the niggers out of the union.
Yeah, how about that?
And the Aryan tried to put them in.
Maybe he wasn't too bad, that Jew.
Yeah.
Portland, Oregon, you don't have to tell me how bad it is. I've lived around here all my life in Hate White Portland. On that dock strike, I'm in agreement with you. I've told all my friends this is what's going to happen with a global economy, and this is exactly why you don't want it. On smoking, it's been shown to me on the Hitler Channel, the Jewish History Channel, Adolf Hitler questioned smoking, and he kept some accurate records on smokers. And the medical community today is looking at those records. Recommend to all our war friends and supporters and associates, quit smoking. Let's live a long and useful life. You don't know how I like to stand and argue with somebody about race.
Well, first of all, about Portland, I guess we got that pretty well figured out. But the guy called in on a national talk show the other day, talking about how crummy this chief of police, the Moose, was, a black guy up there in Portland. And they got a woman mayor up there, Mayor Katz, a Jew, I guess a lesbian. This guy called in, she's the ugliest lesbian I ever saw. Well, anyhow, this smoking thing, of course, I don't believe in mandatorily making people quit smoking. It's up to them. And I don't believe in these $26 billion deals in court to give some woman that should have known better than to smoke. But it's definitely not good for us, that's for sure.
You say that as you're smoking a cigar.
But as Hitler said, Hitler's people, no, they did extensive study into smoking. In fact, the British had grabbed all that information out of the Third Reich at the end of the war. And now, guess what? They're releasing all the research that the Germans did on smoking. You know, Hitler wouldn't allow them to smoke around him.
Oh, yeah. I don't believe it.
Remember that one movie about him once he shot himself or supposedly shot himself in the bunker?
Last Days of Hitler or something.
Yeah, and then everybody started lighting up.
Yeah.
But you can't control those kind of morals. If people want to smoke, they're going to smoke.
Oh, they're going to kill themselves.
Well, Wyatt, I'm going to play a couple of my songs here. You know, from the Man in Black?
Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash, like those outlaw songs.
Oh, yeah.
Those prison songs.
Yeah, before he starts singing gospel songs.
Yeah, here we go.
It's good to be with you. Jill said she knew there'd be some people from the South here tonight. Because some of you guys get out here in California, the place is so crazy, you just gotta get something to eat some way, don't you? I'm glad to see you again. Colorado or Georgia by the sea, working for some man who may not know at all who I might be. If you ever see me coming, and if you know who I am, I'm talking to me to nobody, because you know I'm on the lam. Wanted man by Lucy Watson, wanted man in this next town. Well, I've had all that I wanted of a lot of things I had, and a lot more than I needed of some things that turned out bad. To get myself a map, went the wrong way into Warren with Juanita on my lap. Then I went to sleep in Shreveport, woke up in Abilene, wondering why the hell I'm wanted at some town halfway between. Wanted man in Albuquerque, wanted man in Syracuse, wanted man in Tallahassee, wanted man in Baton Rouge. There's somebody set to grab me anywhere that I might be, and wherever you might look tonight, you might get a glimpse of me. Wanted man in California, wanted man in Buffalo, wanted man in Kansas City, wanted man in Ohio, wanted man in Mississippi.
Johnny, boy, that's a good one. I love that song. Hey, look, let's dedicate that to all the Aryan soldiers out there that are doing time. They're all over the country. I just talked to David Lane, and he has been in lockdown for a month. Finally got him out. I guess now he can take a shower. Isn't that nice of those people?
That's good.
Tell me, Wyatt, when we get this thing turned around, aren't we going to get some Aryan justice with these people who run these prisons?
It's time to reopen the Coliseums. Start the games.
Yes,
bring
yes.
out the Lions.
Absolutely, yeah. So, and Eric Rudolph, wherever you're at, keep on running, boy. Don't ever let them drag you to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about you guys here 3 times before. I think I'm having a little bit of confidence. I feel it's other things. Anyway, I tried to put myself in your place, and I believe this is the way that I would feel about San Quentin. San Quentin, you've been living hell to me. You've lived for me since 1963. I've seen them come and go, and I've seen them die. And long ago I stopped asking why. San Quentin, I hate every inch of you. You cut me and you scarred me through and through. And I'll walk out a wiser, weaker man. Mr. Congressman, you can't understand. What good do you think you do? Do you think I'll be different when you're through? You bend my heart and mind and you warp my soul. Your stone walls turn my blood a little cold. San Quentin, may you rot and burn in hell. May your walls fall and may I live to tell. May all the world forget you ever stood. And may all the world regret you did no good. San Quentin, I hate every inch of you.
Thank you. that goes out to all the Aryan soldiers stuck in prisons and jails and maybe even on the run. How about that?
You know, I was thinking that, you know, back in the 60s, they had more freedom inside the prison. Nowadays, they'd probably kick Johnny Cash out for inciting a riot. They wouldn't let a song like that happen.
Well, they wouldn't even let Johnny Cash
in
the prison.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They wouldn't let any entertainment.
Yeah. Well, let's sell some soap here, Doc.
Yeah.
Not soap. Hey, This Time the World, George Lincoln Rockwell. This is his pretty much like a autobiography.
Oh, know? Yeah. That's a lot better than White Power.
Oh, yeah, much better. 440 pages, and you need to read this. And it's out of print. And we do it just a few at a time. That's why it costs so much. They're $40 postpaid in a binder. And so, and then we've got George Lincoln Rockwell's book that's sort of a cut-down version of White Power, along with legal, psychological, and political warfare teachings of Rockwell. And that's those are $25, and that's a good deal for you. You need to read. You need to read that, right?
Yeah.
What? Well, I don't know. We got so much stuff here. Snitch culture.
Oh.
Yeah. The death of privacy and shitty snitchy neighbors and eyes and ears on loan. And that's a good book to read about snitch culture. $25. And remember, we've got that George Lincoln Rockwell Film Fest. And that's about 3 hours, as I recall, of historical stuff, a big, long documentary on George Lincoln Rockwell. And then we've got the Marquette Park footage.
Oh, yeah, with Collins.
With Collins. And then we've got California Reich.
Oh, yeah.
All together for $25.
I used to hang out with about everybody in that film.
Yeah. And then we've got the Hitler Fest, and that's about 5 tapes in one package. Has the ruins of the Reich, it has the secret weapons, it has Hitler speeches, it has Good Morning, Mr. Hitler, some beautiful video in color that they uncovered. It hasn't really been around too long. And they even have Nazi UFOs.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. So that's a $25 package that you need to get. And then we've got The War of the Flea, 151 pages. That's a 70s how-to book about guerrilla warfare that was going on all over the world, and the CIA did everything they could to get rid of that book.
Is that a nonfiction?
That's a nonfiction book, and the CIA went around and bought up every copy they could find.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, they didn't want anybody to read it.
Yeah, we sell a lot of those for $20, and when you purchase this merchandise, you're supporting our projects. We have lots of other projects, and of course, we're on the radio. We've got War Radio. You just go on your computer and go to shoutcast.com, and then you search for Tom Metzger, and then you hit the little tune-in button, and we're on there almost 24 hours a day. And, of course, you can go to our friends up in Orange County, California, and that's radiowhite.com, and you can scroll down their page to Tom Metzger and just plink that old Tom Metzger, and our show will come up. And also, on Monday night, they have a live show. That's Canada Boys up at Radio White at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And then our live show is on Wednesday at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And I'm going to continue from last week, this week, reading to you from Might is Right. That's a pretty good book.
It's the Bible.
It's the Bible. So anyhow, and also then at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on Wednesday, we are featured on the Hal Turner Radio Network out of New York City.
Oh, hey.
In the belly of the beast.
Near the World Trade Center.
Right down the street.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so that's about it from that. Okay, Wyatt, let's close out of here with a little more Woody Guthrie music.
Just blowed in and I got them Dust Bowl blues. I just blowed in and I got them Dust Bowl blues. I just blowed in and I'll blow back out again. I guess you've heard about every kind of blues. I guess you've heard about every kind of blues. But when the dust gets high, you can't even see the sky. I've seen the dust so black that I couldn't see a thing. I've seen the dust so black that I couldn't see a thing. And the wind so cold, boy, it nearly cut your water off. I seen the wind so high that it blowed my fences down. I seen the wind so high that it blowed my fences down. Buried my tractor 6 feet underground. Well, it turned my farm into a pile of sand. Yes, it turned my farm into a pile of sand. I had to hit that road with a bundle in my hand. I spent 10 years down in that old dust bowl. I spent 10 years down in that old dust bowl. When you get that dust pneumonia, boy, it's time to go. I had a gal and she was young and sweet. I had a gal and she was young and sweet. But a dust storm buried her 1,600 feet. She was a good gal, long, tall, and stout. Yes, she was a good gal, long, tall, and stout. I had to get a steam shovel just to dig my darling out. These dusty blues are the dustiest ones I know. These dusty blues are the dustiest ones I know. There's no fields in my dust. I had to pack up and go, and it just blowed in, and I'll soon blow out again.